Welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast with Pastor Paul White. We hope the good news of God's abundant grace and favor will be daily bread to your soul. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Paul.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Deeper Daily Broadcast. Let's continue today with the message we started at the beginning of the week, and we continue all the way through the end of the week's worth of programming. This is God's Righteousness in the Riband of Blue.
Okay. And I believe the Lord is bringing this to the forefront for such a time as this. I'm not saying that we're the first person to see it, and I'm not saying that others don't preach it. I'm not saying that this story was not good for any church age until ours. Please don't take that. God uses the same story in different ways for different church ages all throughout church history. But I believe there's a special touch on this story for this final hour. Because those who have been enlightened are bringing up another generation. And that next generation is so dear to the heart of Christ that He is going to wade through the crowd to go do whatever He has to do to bring the next generation of believers up off the sickbed. There's little kids like this little guy right here on the second row who doesn't even understand a word that I'm saying about Jesus, who is the next generation. They are the sons and daughters of the ones who have received the light. Generations of believers who have walked in the light and received the light have the daughters and sons lying at home who can't get out of bed, who are sick with the fever, who have, if we don't change from religion to relationship, they have no chance. I mean, they have no chance. They will never be able to walk in the fullness of God's grace unless somebody radically wades through the unbelievers to get to their house. You understand? Jesus is going to go wade through a group of people, only one of which display faith to be healed. Now, the woman with the issue of blood doesn't happen by coincidence. Let me ask you this. Do you think that in Jesus' ministry, do you think that there were a bunch of stuff, there were a lot of things that happened that we don't know about? Let's be honest. I mean, we don't get much, really. Jesus did a whole lot of stuff. As a matter of fact, John, right near the end of his book, says, I suppose if all the books of the world, if were written down, all the things that he said and did, all the books of the world could not contain them. And I used to think, I remember this, I used to think, nah, I don't really believe that. That's a lot of books. I did. I didn't want to sound sacrilegious, so I didn't say it out loud. But I thought, I don't know. That's a lot of books. You ever walked into a huge library? That's one library. That's not kind of all the books that are in the whole wide world. But the more I dig into the grace and favor of God, the more I believe John just scratched the surface. Because what he meant was, if you could write the depths of everything he said or did, you'll never exhaust it. You just keep preaching it over and over, and you get a new angle every week. You get a new time. Every time you open the Bible, oh, there's something I didn't see yesterday. You couldn't write enough books. You could keep writing books, couldn't write enough books about what Jesus did. Now, with that in mind, we all agree that Jesus did a bunch of stuff we don't know about. Do you think that he was ever going from point A to point B at any point in his ministry and then healed some people along the way? Yeah, probably happened more than right here, right? So why tell us about this one? What purpose do we have in going from a seaside sermon, wading through a crowd of primarily unbelievers, of people that are excited, but only one healing happens. Jesus stops, he heals the one with the issue of blood, then goes on to Jairus' house to raise Jairus' daughter. For what purpose do you even tell us about the one with the issue of blood? I've got a feeling that a lot of stuff happened right in front of and behind some of the most famous stories in the Word that we don't get told about, but for some reason God inspired this little woman. And everything in her life speaks of the church. We govern ourselves in guilt and condemnation. We've been bleeding. A woman who had chronic bleeding could not reproduce. So a church world wrapped up in guilt, condemnation, and religion, they govern themselves with it, cannot reproduce the kind of generation it's going to take to change this world. Let me tell you something. Religion has converts by fear and intimidation. Relationship has converts through Jesus Christ, grace and favor. If you want to grow a church through religion and works, you have to scare people about hell, and you have to intimidate them into staying there. These are the frameworks for a cult. Okay? And most of us Christians, I'm going to say something right here that's not real popular, okay? So hang with me. That's okay. It won't be the first time we've been on that train. You just jump on with me. Toot, toot, right? Much of the church was always warning about cults. Warning about watch out for this, watch out for them, watch out for this, watch out for that. And the whole time that they're projecting doctrine, they're giving the framework of a cult. Because the whole spirit behind watch out for everybody else is because we're the only ones doing it right. Guess what the cult is saying? Watch out for everybody else because we're the only ones doing it right. Isn't it odd that as we're warning about the others, we're preaching the exact same thing? We feel better about ours because we throw in some Jesus. All right? Jesus said, they're not against me, they're for me. I try to remember that a lot before I go out and lampoon and punch every other ministry around. I got no rights or reason to punch them. Some great churches and great pastors. I hope every one of their churches explode with growth and people getting saved. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I want them to grow greatly and immensely. I don't need to scare you about hell and intimidate you to stay here. If you want to leave, the door is there. I don't want to see you go, but we're not going to push our thumb down on you to see you stay. I want you to grow in relationship, not religion. Not because you feel like if you don't go here, you can't go anywhere. But because maybe, just maybe, you'll feel like if you don't go here, you'll miss something. That's really what I want to preach. That maybe they'll go, oh man, we didn't go, we're going to miss something. He's going to say something about Jesus and we're going to miss it. And then we're going to have to get the CD and then those bums don't make enough CDs and so we'll have to wait a week. That's what I want you to think. That's why I don't make enough CDs. Now you get it? So you'll have to come back and order it. And then you got to come back and pick it up. Oh, why does he do that? I want you to want to feed, want to see Jesus, want to fall in love with Christ and His righteousness. Right? But the one with the issue of blood can't reproduce. And so until the church gets guilt and condemnation removed from their lives, you know what she's lacking? A spirit of sonship. That's why Jesus calls her daughter. She doesn't have a spirit of sonship. She has a spirit of slavery. Religion breeds slavery. Relationship breeds sonship. Religion tells you gotta work. Relationship tells you you get to work. There is no honor. There is no honor in a servant serving. He's just doing what he's supposed to do. But there is high honor in a son serving. You understand? Nobody honors the street sweeper that stands outside of the White House and sweeps. That's his job. He gets paid for it. But if the President of the United States comes out and picks up a broom and sweeps, every major news outlet in the world is there. Because the guy that doesn't have to do it is doing it. You know who gets honored that night on the news? Not the guy that does it every week for a paycheck, but the guy that should never have to do it. Wouldn't it be better to do what you do for Jesus as a son with high honor than to do it because you got to get home? Such is the message of grace. Such is a reproductive church. Jesus is on his way to the house of Jairus to heal the little girl. He stops on his way and fixes the church. And here's what I believe. I believe that the next generation is lying on the sickbed, but they are so close to the heartbeat of our Father. They are so close to the heartbeat of Jesus that He is breaking through everything He can get through, everything that stands in His way to get the message to the next generation. And on the way, the Church of Jesus Christ is coming home. How many of you will agree with me? Let me speak real plain. There is a grace revolution happening. The next generation is raising up to preach grace and favor radically. We've seen nothing yet. The next generation is raising up to preach grace better than I preach it, better than anybody else preaches it, better than anybody else has written it, better than anybody else has taught it. They're going to see things I don't see. They're going to see things you don't see. And God's raising up Jairus' daughter. But on the way there, and we're seeing this right now, on the way there, the old church that's governed herself in guilt and condemnation and religion is grabbing hold of the righteousness, the blue ribbon of Jesus. And he loves her so much, he's going to stop on his way to the next generation and look her in the eye. You know what I believe we're seeing right now? Him looking his church in the eye and calling us sons and daughters. Ah, that falls over me like a warm waterfall over my heart. It really does. He calls us sons and daughters. And then sends us on our way. Daughter, go into peace and be made whole. Go into peace every day. Go into peace. And then he turns and heads back for that next generation. Aren't you glad? Praise God. Comes back to that next generation. Now, when he arrives in the house, let's find this. Now, we could say a lot about her situation. We could preach a little bit about him saying she's only asleep. But I really want to jump straight to the heartbeat of what brings Jesus into this house. Mark chapter 5, verse 51. And he took the damsel by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Mark 5, 41. He took the damsel by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. The garment we just told you about in Numbers 15 that was over the body of the Jew, and they would take the fringe, the hem, the ribboned, and they would weave it into the garment and the woven wings of blue on the back of the prayer shawl. The Hebrews call the prayer shawl the talit, the T-A-L-I-T. The talith is a lamb or sheep. Now I want you to notice the word Jesus uses, and it stayed in the Hebrew. The Holy Spirit didn't let the translators take it and put it in English. There's a reason. The word he uses on the little girl is Talitha kumi. Talitha kumi. Which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Now, from the root Hebrew word that Jesus used, talit, prayer shawl, talith, lamb, talitha, little lamb. Okay? Little lamb, little sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Remember that one? Feed my little ones first. Feed them, Peter, if you love me. Jesus, the Holy Spirit has absolute authority and control. He could have allowed the translators to take Talitha kumi and just say it straight. But instead, he does a rare thing. He gives you the Hebrew and then interprets it for you. But if you dig deeper into the Hebrew, you find that the root of Talitha is the prayer shawl. It is the ribboned of blue. You know what Jesus does right here? By saying Talitha kumi, he throws the shawl over the body of the little girl. Because tal and itha, you can do Hebrew several different ways. I'm not going to claim to be a Hebrew scholar, but I have learned enough about Hebrew to know this. Hebrew and Greek both will translate from one into English. But then if you break the word down and take the compound words, you can find that the root words have different definitions.
Well, that's all that we have time for today. The message is titled, God's Righteousness in the Ribboned of Blue. If you'd like a copy of this message, contact us here at the ministry, and we'll get it to you postage paid and free of charge. Until tomorrow, this is Pastor Paul White saying, God bless.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily Broadcast. To order products mentioned in today's program, write us at Paul White Ministries, P.O. Box 985, Poplar Bluff, Missouri 63902, or call us at 573-686-2414. To order online, visit our website at www.paulwhiteministries.org. May God's abundant grace and favor be with you in Jesus' lovely name.